Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Steve, Yanni, Brody, Cal, Randall, Danielle, Corey, and Brendan Rundy. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there's a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Now, Brendan is our guest on today's episode, and for the first time ever, he is making an appearance on Trivia before he appears on the regular podcast because of some scheduling things. So, Brendan, give folks a preview of that episode of Meat Eater by telling us about yourself.
Thanks, Spencer. Brendan Rundy, marine scientist with the Nature Conservancy, which is the world's largest environmental non-governmental organization. I study a lot of things related to fish, but mostly what we talked about in the conversation that just concluded is offshore wind and fish and all of the various facets thereof.
And Brendan is quite competitive. He asked about playing trivia when he was invited to be a guest on the regular show, so I assume you're confident. You think you'll do okay?
I don't think I'm going to win. I think I'll do okay. I might hang.
Okay.
Yep.
He did ask Steve before we recorded if Steve was going to be on this episode because he said it wouldn't feel like a win if he were to take the victory with Steve not being here. So
just a guess here, You know, spend a couple minutes with the old run to TNC. kind of strikes me as the type of guy.
You'll get that joke
later. Kind of strikes me as the type of guy who's going to get like tied up. You know, it's like, oh, everybody's got 6 points, and he's just going to crack right there.
Okay.
Going to choke.
Yeah, pressure guy.
The room is confident.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do.
Now, each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat for the stat of the week. This week, we're updating our total wins counter. At the top of the leaderboard is Brody with 30 wins. That's followed by Steve with 21, Giannis with 13, Randall with 11, Cal with 5, Clay with 4, and Seth with 3. Brody, Steve, Giannis, and Randall are responsible for 75% of all the Meat Eater Trivia wins. Brendan, maybe you need to break that up today and get a victory so that all the heavy hitters are in the room.
Love to.
Yeah, see what you can do. Now, here's our infrequently asked question segment. If you have a trivia-related question for our crew, send it to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line IFAQ. Carl Sorsby wants to know, what do you think is the worst question you've ever asked? Maybe our players could answer that. Steve, what do you think is like the worst question that I've ever asked? Well, Phil came to the mic very quickly.
I'm coming to the mic to tell Steve to go to his mic.
Oh, okay.
I've since proven you wrong about it, too, but I haven't brought it up. It's your stupid thing about symbiosis.
You proved me wrong? Well, when did you prove me wrong? I must not have been here.
When a dude sent me an email proving you wrong.
No, okay. You were wrong about that, Steve. I hate to tell you.
Oh, wrong about it. Plus, you can't argue when I'm saying the Encyclopedia Britannica gives this definition.
So okay, but you're saying that I could go like this. I could say to you, according to the National Earth Society, the Earth is flat.
Okay.
And you'd be like, well, no, it's not. And they'd be like, no, it was a goofy flat Earth website.
That would be a correct answer then. Yeah. They'd be like, I won't get into it. Well, you came to your mic.
The definition of mutualism is commonly held as the way Spencer described it.
Yeah, there we go. To answer the question, what the worst question I've ever asked, a few come to mind. I've gone to the edge of our universe and probably too far beyond with some of the cooking questions. I once had a question about what the two ingredients are in fry sauce. I don't feel great about that question. Struck that from the board game. That didn't make it in there. I've asked a question about like ranking the most popular onion colors in terms of like what's grown. Don't feel good about that one. One that's hung with me is when I asked a question about, I declared it the worst hunting song of all time, and it was Luke Bryan's Drinking Beer and Wasting Bullets.
You felt bad about that?
Well, he got bullied on YouTube about it, kind of bad. I saw the comments got deleted, I'm like, who am I to tell Luke Bryan that his music sucks? Dude,
but you're saying that he's paying attention to you?
No, not him. The people who uploaded the video, and then the commenters who like, I came here for Meat Eater Trivia. This song is disgusting.
Being mean's fun until someone's feelings get hurt.
Nashville's watching every week to see who catches a stray from Spencer.
Luke Bryan, this is Spencer. Listen, my deets are on. You can DM me.
No idea who we are.
I apologize.
The people who upload his videos to YouTube, they were aware for a minute of us.
Spencer, you didn't bring up any of the dumb TV questions that you asked.
Those aren't dumb.
Like,
they're related to hunting
and
fishing.
About some show that's 40 years old that,
I think those
that's the only kind of shows
fine.
I know about.
Yeah.
What about that?
Perfectly fine.
What about that Hemingway question with the mistaken billfish identities?
The following episode I came back, I was like, oh yeah, Brody, I'll give it to you. I was wrong.
We were right. It was
I worked myself
marlin.
Into a pretzel. I don't think I was wrong about it. I could have used better judgment about it. And I've just been blatantly
Spencer,
wrong.
I feel like the dumb questions are very few and far between. These.
I would have known that this was the IFAQ of the day. I would have prepared ahead of time and come with a list.
Yeah. Now we'll get to our housekeeping. On a recent episode of Trivia, we had a question about America's hottest taco trend in 2020. The correct answer was a word spelled B-I-R-R-I-A. And I'm spelling that word because apparently me and the rest of the room butchered its pronunciation, which enraged a lot of emailers and commenters. So we're going to correct that today. And Phil is going to bring the Latin flavor by nailing this pronunciation. Take it away, Phil.
Yeah, that's what people turn to me for, is Latin flavor, which is why how I will say birria. Gotta roll that R there.
Yeah, birria. We got it.
Yeah.
You think, is that satisfying?
Birria.
Okay, very good. That's right.
We had
that
last night for dinner.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. Steve made it.
I made it with buffalo cheeks.
Say it for us. Say that word.
I see both of you aren't choosing to say it.
Berea.
Okay. Send your hate mail to Steve if you didn't like that. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You just tend to win everything.
He's starting to sweat.
This must be nerves,
game
Steve.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1, the topic is hunting, and this first great question is via Robert Gallinato. Brody's not going to like this because it is related to media. What kind of coonhounds does Billy own in Where the Red Fern Grows? This is multiple choice. Are they blue tick, plot, redbone, or treeing walker? The topic is hunting. What kind of coonhounds does Billy own in Where the Red Fern Grows? Blue tick, plot, redbone, treeing walker. Who's confident in this room? Okay, Cal.
Me.
Cal is the only. Yeah, Cal and
I'm
Yanni.
I'm confident.
Cal and Yanni think they have this one right.
Hunter Spencer just made a movie poster. We have this idea. It's a very inside joke, but a TV show called Dog Justice, where like if your dog breaks a rule, there's a guy that exacts justice on the dog.
Okay.
On the dog or on the owner?
No, on the dog.
What would be an example of justice?
Well, you catch a dog in a leash area without off his leash. Mm. So the dog justice guy shows up and kills the dog.
Okay.
Anyhow, Hunter Spencer made a poster for the show where it's the cutout from like the Redfern Grows.
Mm-hmm.
No, where's the one? Old Yeller. That's who's got to kill his dog. And it says, dog justice. That dog don't hunt. Well, at least not anymore.
I like how your example very is inside. Like the off-leash area dog. The unleashed dog gets shot. That kind of implies that every sentence is a death sentence.
I keep hearing how Hunter Spencer's so busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're like at home sleeping or something, he just wakes up and makes something like that.
Oh,
yeah,
just for funsies.
As a reminder, we're on question one. What kind of coonhounds does Billy own in Where the Red Fern Grows? Blue tick, plot, red bone, treeing walker. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brendan saying Redbone, Yanni saying Redbone, Cal saying Upside Down Redbone, Randall and Corey saying Redbone, Brody saying Treeing Walker, he crossed out plot, Danielle saying, what's that say, Danielle? Redbone. Saying Redbone, Steve saying Redbone. They got it. The correct answer is Redbone. Redbones are an American breed that took form a few decades before the Civil War. They were bred by hunters who were successful at tracking gray foxes, but always failed at tracking red foxes. They said red foxes were quicker and more wily, and that their current coonhounds couldn't keep up. So they started selectively breeding foxhounds to create a courageous dog with superior tracking and treeing abilities, which was the foundation stock of the Redbone. Who's hunted around a Redbone in here? Yanni, do you know any dog owners in your network have a red bone?
Oh boy, Steve, you really bungled that camera. You can continue the show if you want.
I know of some, but I've never hunted with them.
We're on to question two. The topic is cooking. A burger named after this state is often topped with lettuce, tomato, onion, and avocado or guacamole.
Oh, you're moving really fast. I'm not ready for this.
It's okay. He's ready. He's up to question two there. Everyone got that last one right, Phil, except for Brody, if you needed that reminder. This is question two. The topic is cooking. A burger named after this state is often topped with lettuce, tomato, onion, and avocado or guacamole. Danielle is confident. Danielle, do you have this one right?
I sure hope so.
Okay. Steve, you think you know this one, or you're just guessing for certain?
I'm not certain, but I got a good feeling.
Lettuce, tomato, onion, and avocado or guacamole.
If it said city, it would have to be Chicago because they're putting all sorts of weird stuff on their burgers. Tomato. Is that Jimmy?
State of Margaritaville. What we're going with. Burger named after this state is often topped with lettuce, tomato, onion, and avocado or guacamole. The room looks stumped.
Can you stop saying avocado?
How would you like to say it?
Avocados from Mexico. Remember that?
I do remember that. Is everybody ready? Corey, you have this one right?
Yes.
Randall, you have this one right.
I've never heard a burger called my answer before.
Okay. But
I don't have a better guess.
As a reminder, Randall is a hot dog aficionado, yes, but maybe not a burger aficionado.
Oh, I love burgers. I'm not into niche.
It's just tough because like...
I like a standard burger.
Mm-hmm.
You ever put a hot dog on your burger?
Like every restaurant has like 10 different names for their burger.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brennan saying California, Yanni saying Canada. Oh no, California. Cal saying California, Randall saying California, Corey saying California. Everybody said California. Everybody got it right.
God, throwing some real softballs today.
It's California.
Man.
I have never heard a burger called a state.
The California burger earned this name because 90% of the country's avocados are grown in the state. Burger King even joined the trend in 2011 by creating the California Whopper, which came with lettuce, tomatoes, onions, guac, Swiss cheese, and bacon. If you want to learn how to make a California burger with a twist, then go to themeateater.com and check out our recipe called California Wild Turkey Burger.
If you want to learn how to make a California burger, go to some avocado on top of it.
Question three. Question three, the topic is conservation. The catastrophic 2010 Gulf Coast oil spill was named after this specific rig
that was being leased by BP. Danielle, our Texan in the room. Trying to see if she can come up with the name.
My father-in-law drilled the relief well for this.
The catastrophic 2010 Gulf Coast oil spill was named after this specific rig that was being leased by BP.
It's also the name. I love seeing Brody in that little position over there, man. He's either praying or sweating.
I know.
It's also the name of a Mark Wahlberg film, isn't it?
I was going to say it. He worked on the rig.
If if that gives it away,
shut up. Save it for his tidbit.
Right. I can't think when people are talking.
The catastrophic 2010 Gulf Coast oil spill was named after this specific rig that was being leased by BP. Steve thinks he has it.
Brendan's
our guest
got it.
Brendan thinks he has it.
It's not my bone, is it? Is this my bone? I hope not.
Should be his bone.
I think it's your bone. Yeah. Brendan, what do you remember about that day? Without saying the name of this place. Well
I remember the name.
Man, day after day of CNN showing that stuff gushing into the water. And that a lot of, I will say, not that anybody wants this to happen again, but a lot of conservation money came from that.
A lot of good
people conservation
projects.
People
fought over the spoils, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Is there a scenario where a turbine could have some like doomsday scenario like that?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Is everybody ready, Brody?
Well, like the turbine tips over and buttload of oil comes ripping out of it.
That'd be a surprise.
Uh-huh. It just keeps it stirring as a whole flock of whales come by. Yeah. And just, chop them all.
Chop up a whole pod.
Is everybody ready?
No, I'm not. I know it's going to come to me in the next 10 seconds.
Maybe keep talking.
Let's go.
You boys give up.
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brendan saying Deepwater Horizon.
That's it.
Yanni without an answer. Cal saying 19.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the 19th.
Mine's a little bit wrong.
Talk Randall to your father saying Deepwater Horizon. Corey without an answer. Brody without an answer. Danielle saying Deepwater Horizon. Steve saying Blue Horizon. Correct answer is Deepwater Horizon.
Can you give it to me?
We're not giving it to Steve.
Blue Horizon?
This is a proper noun. You don't get
Blue
that.
Blue Bayou?
The Deepwater Horizon.
Like, no,
rig.
Blue Bayou, I wouldn't be arguing for it. I'd be like, that's just wrong.
The Deepwater Horizon rig was built in South Korea in 2001 and was owned by Transocean and operated by BP. A judge ruled that BP was given 67% of the blame for the oil spill, while Transocean was assigned 30% and Halliburton was assigned 3%. Halliburton was the company who provided the cement intended to seal the well, which failed and caused the explosion that started the crisis.
You remember when Mark Wahlberg jumped off that thing?
So this is a book? A movie?
Oh, it's a movie.
Okay. And
Is
it related to the Deepwater?
It's about it. It's like the movie Titanic about the Titanic. It's just one of those movies that's the title of the movie is the title of the event.
I can't believe I've never heard of this.
But what's it about?
It's about Deepwater Horizon.
Does he die?
It's about the explosion.
Okay.
It's not really about anything else, though.
Because 10 people died. No, 11 people died in the explosion. He was.
I don't have that. You have that.
Question four. The topic is biology. This five-letter word is the name for the bony scales found on alligators and sturgeon. Steve and Brendan and Brody and Cal are confident. Yanni hasn't picked up his
whiteboard. Why are you telling everybody how many letters it's got?
This five-letter word is the name for the bony scales found on alligators and sturgeon. Because
Phil,
why don't you just have
Steve switch spots with Danielle?
What is going on with the camera over here?
What is distracting?
Steve came in and punted it, and now
Spencer, can I ask you?
It's a small room. I'm not.
I got a question here.
Is this a plural?
Right. Same question.
Singular.
I don't think I'm going to give you any further hints.
Don't answer that question.
The way that it's worded.
Remember about his dumbest stuff.
Yeah.
This could.
Right. It would be a word for, I read it as a word for scales.
Multiple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it
would need to end in an S if the question is written correctly. Bony scales
found on alligators and sturgeon.
Important clarification.
I still know the answer.
I still don't know if my answer is correct, but I have a five-letter answer.
Providing a slight hint. I'm not going to give you any more information, Danielle. five-letter word.
Randall set me up.
Well, you guys keep talking about this. I would have been wrong had I not.
Oh, wow. Cal is changing his answer. He was one of the first to come up with an answer. Yanni is still stumped. Yanni, has all this banter helped you at all?
Not really.
Okay. Five letters.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah, let's go. Interesting.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brendan saying scoot. Yanni saying armor. Cal saying scoot. Randall saying plate. Corey saying scoot. Brody saying scoot. Danielle saying armor. Steve saying scoot. The correct answer is scoot.
Does Corey still get it even though he put those little hangman markers underneath
just count.
I think we'll give it to him.
I'm disappointed. So
I even
many
let
people
Randall
got
cheat
that.
Off me on that one. That's
Sturgeon
how
have
was
five
play.
Rows of scutes that run the length of their body. They act as armor and protect the fish when they're young and vulnerable. Some other fish with scutes are pinecone fish, herring, and jacks.
No one's counting, but I think that's two bones for Brendan.
Yeah, why keep throwing
them bones?
I don't
study alligators or sturgeon. Yeah, but we do some sturgeon work.
Well, so Corinne first described to me that we're having a fish biologist on the show, so I wrote this question. And then I later learned that you're a marine biologist with an emphasis on clean energy, which is how we got to the deep water horizon. So I wouldn't consider the scoot question
perfect.
A bone.
It's like a plate of bones he's getting thrown.
Perfect. Question five. The topic
he's getting thrown like a museum specimen.
Fly Fisherman magazine declared this large terrestrial, which looks like it crawled out of a nuclear disaster, one of the greatest flies of all time. Fly Fisherman magazine declared this large terrestrial, which looks like it crawled out of a nuclear disaster, one of the greatest flies of all time.
When you say terrestrial,
Brody's gearing up to
as
fight
compared
right
to extraterrestrial.
Yeah, I am because
well, you're going to have to argue with worded. The Fly Fisherman magazine list if you don't like if your answer isn't the same as my answer. So I would direct you to them. Corey has it right. He's handing out hints. He says he catches cool. a lot of cutties on this one.
Cutties will eat anything.
Eat anything.
Yeah, they like popcorn. Too.
Yanni, you have this one right.
The answer believe so. Is trouble. Believe okay. so.
Randall, do you have this one right?
I believe so.
Large terrestrial, which looks like it crawl out of a nuclear disaster, one of the greatest flies of all time.
Brutal.
This is question five.
This is like, how many times have they done this list? This is a great reason as to why some of your questions are stupid, right? Okay.
Cal, I would encourage you to come host an episode.
In popular science, what's the most popular means of transportation?
Not
the
even
Zeppelin.
Close.
I'm sorry, it was the 1939 issue of Pop
yeah,
Sci.
Yeah, like, Outside Magazine named this one of the best mountain towns. It's like, okay.
That's a question
they do
we've
a list
done.
Every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is everybody ready?
Harsh, aren't they? Brutal. Harsh.
Well,
you should like this
it.
Question because Brendan seems like he's going to get it wrong. And I think he has a perfect
wrong.
Game thus far.
Yanni,
go ahead and don't show your answers yet. Is everybody ready?
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. Oh we have Brendan saying Helgramite. Yanni saying Chernobyl ant. Cal saying Chernobyl ant. Randall saying Chernobyl ant. Corey saying Chernobyl ant. Brody saying Chernobyl ant. Danielle without an answer. Steve without an answer.
No, I got an answer. I'm not showing it to you.
Okay. I don't imagine that would fly if Chester.
Interesting.
The 3 Mile Island grasshopper.
Didn't show his answer. The correct answer is the chubby Chernobyl, but I think we'll give it to you.
Okay. Why? I didn't get blue water.
There are so many different kinds
because
of Chernobyls.
The chubby Chernobyl is a variation.
There's no
of
way
the
you're
going to
give chubby Chernobyl
ant.
And not give me blue horizon.
There is a
they
way.
They got one word right. I got one word right. There's two words in the answer. They got one. I got one.
This would be an unanswerable question if you didn't give us some leeway, I feel.
No.
Unless we all had read this
whoa,
particular
wait,
issue.
Dude, I am taking that point so. If you do this.
Steve is not getting a point, regardless of how we
know.
Land on
but
this
what,
question.
It's a two
Brandon, what do you think? What do you think? Should they
well,
get it?
Seeing as how I got it wrong.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't think anyone else
should
get it, but I maintain Steve should not get blue horizon.
It's kind of odd that you had a real consensus amongst the fly anglers in this room.
The former fly fishing guides all had the same answer.
Yeah, but chubby Chernobyl and Chernobyl ant, is farther apart than Deepwater and Blue Horizon.
Let me read you my flavor text. Blue Horizon. Let me read you my flavor text. The chubby Chernobyl is a descendant of the Chernobyl ant, which was created on Utah's Green River in 1991. The chubby Chernobyl was born about a decade later when some fly tires in Portland added a flash tail and wings to the ant, which they originally referred to as Fat Bastard. The fly has been described as a guide's dream because even the most blind client can see a chubby Chernobyl floating on the surface.
Horseradish. On your board, Steve, did you write Chernobyl? Blank, blank, blank. No. Okay.
I'm starting to come around to not giving it to you guys.
Please don't give it to him.
Well, Corey, what do you
mean?
They're
all
the same thing.
The same thing, whether it's an ant or a hopper or a beetle.
If you told me to hand you,
now that fly is just called
the
chubby.
I think you're figuring out that you dug yourself really, a hole.
If you put something out super far in the deep water and you look from far away, it looks bluish because it's out so deep.
If you told me to hand you a chubby Chernobyl and I handed you a Chernobyl ant, would you say no? Handing me the Chernobyl ant.
That's the same thing.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't be able to distinguish between
them. It's not the same thing. Fly.
It's not
the
same
fly. Okay, then you don't get it.
The answer was
no. They do not get the point. Nobody got that one right.
Thank you.
And all my guys just,
it's not the same thing. Spencer, it's not a big deal, dude. I knew you were going to
Yanni,
you were ready to fight right off the bat.
Yanni had Chernobyl ant.
Walking into a quagmire.
Like Vietnam.
They're not the same ant we've declared. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia.
I'll bring in.
What if I just written Chernobyl?
No, that's wrong. Give us a leader.
Oh, yeah.
I just wrote Horizon.
What if
you'd have been
wrong. Wrote Chernobyl?
I'm telling you what would have happened. You would have been wrong.
That seems
chubby Chernobyl's the answer.
Chubby Chernobyl.
Yeah, I know, but this is the fun part of the whole show.
According to Field and Stream.
I know. Fly Fisherman Magazine.
Or Fly Fisherman Magazine.
According to some junk I read on the internet.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Spencer.
Give us the scoreboard update.
How are you doing today? I just want to apologize to the YouTube audience for this episode. It has become quite chaotic. also, Brendan, I'm sorry. I don't know why I feel the need to say that. We got Giannis, Brody. They've got 2 points. Steve, Randall, Danielle, Corey, and Cal all have 3 points apiece. Four. And in first place, our guest, Brendan. Oh. He's got 4 points.
Damn. Wow.
Cal's right, though. I'm going to crack. Here it comes.
That's why we needed the Chernobyl today.
Yeah, honestly.
Some esoteric Western national force about to pop up.
I was also trying to guide you to the right answer by saying a large terrestrial.
Well,
because the chubby
but
is
all
bigger.
Chernobyls are large terrestrial.
Yeah, the chubby is bigger though. Question six.
It's actually not
true.
It's not. We're just telling you it's not. But that
it has the wings and the flash tail that make it bigger, right?
So does the Chernobyl.
No, it makes it look different, but it's definitely not bigger.
That's not what size is on the fly fishing scale.
Question six.
You know how hooks go like 10, 12, 14?
Question six.
It's okay to be wrong. Everybody was wrong.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times, I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. You know, I didn't realize this about myself before until I saw the terminology for it, but as a hydrator, I'm a chug person, meaning I go and go and go and go and go because I'm busy and thinking about what I'm doing. And then I go like, man, I need to hydrate. And then I just chug. And one thing that helps me chug a lot more and more frequently is Liquid IV, because frankly, water kind of bores me, but I love Liquid IV. 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. I love how convenient the packaging is for whatever it is I'm doing that day. Traveling, in the field, working in the office, I'm still drinking Liquid IV. It's satisfying, helps me get rehydrated, and even when I'm flying around, I just carry it in my pack. I keep it in my computer bag. One stick, 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than water alone. No artificial sweeteners. However you like to hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier, sugar-free, in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at liquidiv.com. Hey, everybody. I'm talking here about Montana Knife Company from our very own state of Montana. This company was founded by one of the most experienced master bladesmiths in the world, Josh Smith, who over recent months I've become friends with. And my God, have I learned a lot about knives from this guy. Just a phenomenal hometown company that makes world-renowned knives. Josh has been making knives for 30 years. You get one of these knives up and open it, it is sharp like something that came from outer space. And here's the deal. They make knives that can be sharpened. You can work on these knives. If you don't want to work on them, you send it to them and they'll work on it. They'll get it sharp. Phenomenal hunting knives. If you want to see them in action, we just did, me and John Hayes, the taxidermist, just did a video about how to properly skin a black bear. Watch that video, and in that video, you'll see Montana Knife Company knives in action. MKC products usually sell out in minutes of being released, which is true. But now, for the first time, they're dabbling with having knives in stock on their site. So right now you can grab yourself a Blackfoot 2.0 or the Ultralight Speed Goat. Use code MeatEater and you get 10% off your first order. Montana Knife Company. Working knives for working people. 10% off with the code MeatEater. That's a good deal.
Question six. Yeah, the topic is conservation. Which federal department directly oversees the United States Forest Service? Which federal department directly oversees the United States Forest Service?
Whose water bottle is that? What's that mean?
That's mine.
What's that mean?
I'll explain it to you in just a second. Let me write
something
down.
This water bottle says Kip Kills. I don't have even a guess as to what that would mean. Yanni's trying to come up with the answer for the federal
department. Is it part of like the weight? Is it part of the heavy arrow lifestyle?
No.
Oh,
Which federal department directly oversees the United States Forest Service? Yanni is stumped. The rest of the room is, they look content with their answers.
No, he looks a little stumped. Me.
Oh, does he? Okay, Brandon.
Oh, he's just sitting on his pile of bones over there.
I'm just going through all the departments just to make sure.
Is everybody ready?
There was a, I don't know where the saying came from, but back in like the 80s, early 90s, they say crack kills, but not this kind. It was in a rap song. Emily Kip is a coach down there at the Mountain Project gym I like to go to, and somebody just decided to make stickers that said Kip Kills because it can be a tough class sometimes that she teaches. Mm-hmm.
Danielle, are you ready?
Wait, keep going. Oh. Let her go. She's getting there.
Danielle has 3 correct answers right now, so she is squarely in this
beating
game.
Brody. Wow.
That's squarely in this game. I want her to keep right.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brandon saying interior. Oh, Yanni saying interior. Cal saying USDA.
Oh, man.
Randall saying Department of Agriculture. Corey saying Department of Agriculture. Brody saying Department of Interior. Yeah. Danielle saying Department of Interior. Yeah. Steve saying USDA.
Damn it.
The correct answer is the United States Department of Agriculture. About half of you got that right.
What did you have?
I had interior analysis. This is it. I'm cracking.
The concept of national forests came from Teddy Roosevelt and the Boone and Crockett Club. They said they witnessed game and timber being mismanaged in Yellowstone National Park, so they felt a forest reserve was needed that would have different regulations. Thus, the U.S. Forest Service was created inside of the Department of Ag instead of the Department of the Interior.
That's dumb.
That was a great question.
Makes sense to me.
Question seven. I got no joy from that run, TNC. Yeah,
I got no joy from it either.
Question seven. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question comes to us via Brody Monroe.
Ooh,
according
like
to the CDC, 7 out of 10 Americans who contract rabies were infected by this animal. According to the CDC, 7 out of 10 Americans who contract rabies were infected by this animal. Cal's not going to like this question because it's via the CDC, so we assigned the answer to somebody like Fly Fisherman Magazine. He'd say, well, no, you know, how do we know?
Well,
no,
how do we know the animal's name? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to get to.
According to the CDC.
I guess we'll never know.
Just pick a name?
According to the CDC, 7 out of 10 Americans who contract rabies were infected by this animal.
You're thinking
animal.
On a totally different level, Spencer.
What do you think when you see that?
Not giving you any hints. Steve has two answers written down. You could show the camera here. You could show the audience what you're thinking.
You
does that? Oh, you got that in front?
Well, he's got two answers.
Where's your eye go when you see that?
Is everybody? No, everybody's not.
Let me take a look.
How specific here?
If you thought the answer was a channel catfish, you could just say catfish.
Chernobyl ant wouldn't cut it right now, would it?
According to the CDC. 7 out of 10 Americans who can.
He's going to retry.
They give you tetanus.
He's
going to
retry his old answer
or superpowers.
See if it works this time.
Yanni, how we doing over there? I think we're waiting on you.
Oh, we are. Well, we can go.
How many Americans contract rabies every year?
I think it's like 25.
Just these 10.
Oh, interesting.
Not very many, or maybe it's 25 who die. I don't remember. Is everybody ready?
Hey, you know, one year the CDC, there's only like 7 CDC cases of a certain disease, and we had 4 of them. Our little group.
Oh, I know.
What are you going to tell us what it was?
It was when we had trichinosis. Oh. We were like 4 out of 7 for the country.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brendan saying raccoon, Yanni saying bat.
Man, raccoon. Brendan's shitting
bat.
The bed.
Randall saying dog. Corey saying domestic dog.
Like
Brody saying bat. Danielle saying dog. Steve saying bat. He erased dog. The correct answer is bat.
Yeah. A
few of you got it right.
Oh, coming back hard.
How many people are coming in contact with bats?
Well, I'll tell you.
7 out of 10 people who get rabies are.
Let me tell you a funny story about bats. I got a buddy gets a bat in his house. Okay. And he goes to catch it in the net. And as he's fiddling with the bat in the net, the bat scratches him with its toenail. And he says, in the back of my head, I'm thinking something about rabies. And sure enough.
He got it?
Yep.
So was it trapped in his attic?
No, it got into his house. And he like got scratched by its toenail. And had to go through all the treatments.
My guess would be a lot of people who come in contact with them are like trying to get them out of their garage or trying to get them out of their fireplace or something like that.
God, I'm on fire.
There was like a almost outbreak in Montana where somebody brought a bat in, like a kid brought a bat in for show and tell at the grade school in Stevensville or middle school in Stevensville, Montana, to be like, yeah, check this out. This is super cool. Which it is, but that bat, somebody decided to test that bat for rabies and it had rabies. So the whole class had to
according get tested. This game right now is like a movie where like picture that you're watching a movie about like a little kid's sports team or something and okay. they get like screwed by the ref or something. But then in the end they win like the championship.
Like
that's
the
like me right
Bears?
Now. Yeah, that's like me right now.
Yeah.
What that would mean that the crowd would be behind you and cheering for you.
That mean that one of the kids got a single kid? And argued that it was a home run.
Right. 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 No. That is not a strike.
According to the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, there are 5,000 rabid animals reported in the U.S. each year. About 90% of those cases are wild animals, while the other 10% are domestic animals. Besides bats, the most common carriers are raccoons, skunks, foxes, cats, dogs, and cattle. Question 8. The topic is hunting. Over 45,000 people applied to participate in a bison hunt at this national park in 2021. The topic is hunting. Over 45,000 people applied to participate in a bison hunt at this national park in 2021. Nobody seems to be super confident about their
I'm very
answer.
Confident.
Okay, Randall has this confident. Right. Randall has this one right. Brody, looks like he might have it. Cal, do you have this one right?
I'm trying to write myself clues because I'm like, I know where it is, but I can't.
I want to talk about this one, but Steve's going to get real angry. So
okay.
I'm going to abstain.
No banter from Cal, but do you have it right?
50-50.
45,000 people applied to participate in a bison hunt at this national park in 2021.
Oh!
It's one of two.
Oh, come on.
Did you see someone's whiteboard or what?
No, it just occurred to me.
Oh, okay.
It's hiding in plain sight inside my brain.
I wish it would occur to me.
The homunculus. Is everybody ready?
No.
Oh.
Dude, I was off on such a weird little mental journey.
Okay.
I think I was off on a weird journey too, but I'm hoping.
Right into the course. Is everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brendan saying Yellowstone. Yanni saying Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
Dude, Brendan fell apart.
Cal saying Grand Canyon. Randall saying Grand Canyon. Cordy saying Grand Teton. Brody saying Grand Teton. Danielle saying Yellowstone. Steve saying Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. The correct answer is Grand Canyon. I think we had Randall and Steve and Cal get that right. Of those 45,000 applicants, of which I was one, only 12 were selected to participate in the hunt. And of those 12 hunters, just 5 killed a bison. The park hasn't sought volunteer hunters since, but did say local tribes would start participating in the hunts in 2023. The park's goal is to reduce the bison herd from 600 to less than 200 by 2025.
I think they're doing it on suspicious grounds.
Explain.
Them feeding the whole not genetically pure line of it as part of the justification, I think is some horse shit.
But I don't think they're even supposed to be bison there to begin with on the North Rim. I don't think even they are like 2% cattle, which no, they don't qualify for beefalo until they're like 75% or something.
I think throwing that in is some horse shit.
You don't want them to be hunted at all.
No, I'm saying, I think that saying that they're not, what they're doing is, how long you got?
They tried to justify, they're trying to appease a certain group of people by saying, oh, and here's this additive information that they're not genetically pure, which should also justify the hunt instead of vilifying the Park Service.
I mean, if you're gonna center the debate around are they native wildlife or not, there's some conflicting evidence. But to throw that little cattle introgression thing into it is just misguided and misleading. It's like you look at it, you know what you're looking at. It acts like what it is. It's like to add this like little cattle thing. So everybody's running around like, oh yeah, but they're hybrids.
Aren't all basically all wild bison have some?
Not all, but most.
Yeah. I also don't think, Steve, that the National Park Service got too hung up on that. When I was looking on their website about this hunt, it was like addressed in some FAQ that was way deep in the website about like, are these pure bison or beefalo? So I don't recall that like being a big talking point for getting rid of them.
I do.
You think it was?
I know.
Okay. I don't think so.
I do.
Phil, we have 2 questions left. Give us a leaderboard update.
Oh, Phil.
Giannis, Danielle, and Brody are no longer in the running for the victory. Brody, they
eliminated
have 3 points apiece. Corey and Brendan have 4. Randall has 5 points, and tied up in first place are Cal and Steve with 6 points.
Cal's been coming on strong lately.
Oh, you want to know something funny? You know how Randall's got like that doctorate and everything?
Never heard this before.
Did you notice?
I mention it frequently.
Did you notice on the archaeological, like when I got my, you know how we participated in that archaeological study?
Yeah.
Did you see your document that came in?
I haven't looked at it closely, but I saw it.
Well, if you look at it closely, you're going to notice up top. Dr. Spencer Newhart.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Even Seth. Not even, I'm saying even Seth. That's Seth. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Especially Seth.
Question 9. The topic is fishing. This fishing lure pattern has chartreuse sides with an orange belly and dark green back.
This fishing lure pattern has chartreuse sides with an orange belly and dark green back. Brody, do you... Oh, he's changing his mind. Randall, do you have this one right?
I don't know what that means.
Yes.
Randall knows what it means. He appears to have the correct answer. Yanni, do you have this one right?
I'm pretty sure.
This fishing lure pattern has chartreuse sides with an orange belly and dark green back.
That doesn't even mean anything.
Okay, Brody, does it mean anything to you?
It means if it's what I think it is, I can't say.
Oh, wow.
I truly don't get it either. Okay. Like, is there a category that...
The category's fishing.
Yeah, that'll make this lure in any other color.
There's a lot of lures out there.
So you're saying there's a lure that's only available in one color.
It's a pattern.
No.
This fishing lure pattern.
Like, does it have to be
a coloration
pattern?
Coloration. If it's okay to say coloration.
I mean, you're helping out your fellow players here.
Like the purple chubby.
This fishing lure
pattern. Well, its coloration would be chartreuse.
Chartreuse sides.
Orange.
With an
green.
Orange belly.
What's that pattern?
I don't know that we're going to get anywhere with this. We should probably just move on to the next question.
What's that? I'm giving away too much.
Yeah. You have it right, Brody.
Well, I think I know where you're going with
okay.
it.
Okay.
It's a confusing way to word the question, but I see what you're
okay,
getting
how
at.
Would you word it?
I think it's...
What's that?
How would you word it?
I wouldn't reword it. I would say, what is this
color pattern called?
This fishing lure pattern has chartreuse sides,
not fishing
with an
lure,
orange belly, and dark green back.
I think that's what you're asking anyway.
Corey thinks he has it. Steve is stumbling
angler.
A little.
Oh, it's just a piss poor question.
Okay. Is everybody ready?
No, give me one more second here.
The topic is fishing.
Can I say chartreuse, orange, and green?
You'd be wrong if you did.
It's dark green.
Oh, sorry. That's why I'd be wrong.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brendan saying electric chicken.
Oh, my God.
Yanni saying fire tiger. Cal without an answer. Randall saying fire tiger. Corey saying tiger. Brody, what's it say, Brody?
Fire
Brody
tiger.
Saying fire tiger. Danielle saying trifecta. Steve saying yellow perch.
But listen, I think you left out a crucial detail.
What's the crucial
they
detail?
They all have black stripes.
Black. Perchy.
The correct answer is fire tiger.
Well, so if it's meant to be a perch,
how would your answer be
deal,
different,
like,
though?
The stripes are like...
But how would your answer be different if it... I don't think I'd...
It just leads people to tiger if you describe the stripes.
Right.
Or if you describe
or
it
or if
as
I told
it
you
actually
how many
looks
words,
like.
Or if I told you how many letters it had in it. Like,
but
I don't
like
think
fire
that would
tiger, it has stripes.
But Brody, did you think it was obvious based on the question?
We got everybody to the correct answer.
If everybody had just gone, oh, I know it, and we moved on, would you have said that was a shitty question?
Well, the way it's worded.
Boy, this is a tough crowd.
So does Corey get the point?
No, he doesn't. Tiger is not good enough because he didn't say fire tiger.
He said fire.
No, he said tiger.
He said tiger.
Which
well,
is half
can I have it because it's supposed to look, because it's meant to look like a perch?
Little is known about the history of the fire tiger pattern. The earliest reference of fire tiger I found is in a 1975 Rebel catalog that was advertising the Mini R crankbait, but I suspect it's much older than that. It's a popular pattern among walleye and bass anglers and most closely mimics a perch, although there isn't much in nature that looks like a fire tiger crankbait.
Do I get it for perch?
You do not get it right. Phil, we have one question left. Who
now
remains
all tied
in the
up.
Game?
Well, to be fair, you guys were already tied
up. I think that
this is a terrible children's movie.
I think that was a perfect question. About half of you got it right, and that's a good indicator
I liked
of
it,
a
Spencer.
Quality question.
It makes sense.
I got to build myself up a little because you boys just tear me down the whole time.
Well, I don't think that's the one that you should be building yourself up on.
Phil, scoreboard update.
I've been very supportive. I'd like you to know. Except for the Chernobyl ant.
Cal, Randall, and Steve are tied up with 6 points.
Okay. That's it? There's nobody with five?
Nobody's got five.
I want to apologize to our guest here. I thought he was going to whoop everybody's
time.
Ass.
Oh,
so that's why I came out.
I was in first.
I
for
played
that,
prison rules at the beginning. Gave you a quick.
I deserved it.
Oh, that's brutal when you get your first few right. Yeah. You think you're just sailing to victory.
He's the only guy I ever saw played his board horizontal.
Question 10.
A lot of people do
right.
that.
Question 10, the topic is cooking. This last great question comes to us via Ken Mitsui.
Come on, Ken.
Named after a Swedish king, this style of steak is served with crab meat, asparagus, and butter sauce on top of it. Brendan is quick to answer. He knows the answer. Named after a Swedish king, this style of steak is served with crab meat, asparagus, and butter sauce on top of it.
God, I know this one.
Randall, do you have this one right?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, damn it.
who's left in the game? It's Randall, Steve.
Randall, Steve, and Cal all have 6 points. I know this. And are vying for the win.
Named after a Swedish king.
Something that ends in Salisbury.
This style
king
of steak
Outback.
Is served with crab meat, asparagus, and butter sauce on top of it.
Steve, there's been a little plot twist in this little children's movie of ours.
Oh, geez, Steve.
It's a rare children's movie that winds up where the
underdogs
and
get beaten by the rich kids.
Phil, you got to do the director's cut of this episode. I'm having a heart attack back here.
Did anyone else see Steve almost knock that?
Yes, I did. Need a bigger tripod.
Named after a Swedish
king. Sandbags down on there next time.
This style of steak is served with crab meat, asparagus, and butter sauce on top of it. Steve, have you ever seen a steak that looked like this? Or this is totally foreign.
A steak with crab meat? I'm stumped.
Now you're now.
This is like the quintessential 80s white cloth, like the old kind of fancy steakhouse.
Okay.
It's not this steak if it doesn't have asparagus with it.
They would have had beef Wellington on the same menu, right?
Yeah.
Maybe steak Diane.
It's just like the classic side, but no, it's not
prime rib.
I'm making steak Diane tonight.
It's good stuff.
Ooh. That was a question in the Meat Eater Trivia Championship. It was about the steak Diane.
Yeah, we've been making a lot of steak Diane ever since that aired.
Okay.
Been good?
Yeah.
Well, I should talk to you about some notes.
Brody and Steve. Do you boys give up?
Oh
no! Give me a second.
Oh, Come on.
What are we doing here, guys?
This is what happens when we don't eat lunch.
Corinne is sitting out there tapping her watch.
I can't remember.
You stumped the chef.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brendan saying Louis, Yanni without an answer, Cal without an answer. Randall saying Oscar, Corey saying King Surf and Turf, Brody saying Hollandaise, Danielle without an answer, Steve saying Hollandaise. Randall got it. The correct answer is Oscar style.
Why did you take mine?
Making him our winner.
Wow.
The Oscar style steak was created with veal in 1897 and named after the Swedish King Oscar Frederick, who loved the pairing of ingredients. King Oscar was an eccentric who wrote poetry, founded the world's first open-air museum, and funded numerous Arctic expeditions besides this surf and turf. He also has a glacier named after him. Has anyone ever had an Oscar style steak?
Yes.
I'm sure I have.
It's on the menu at Chico. If you next time you're at Chico, they have an Oscar style steak there.
That's what I had. December 17th, 2023.
Randall wins with 7 correct answers.
Orange flambe for dessert.
Randall, where is the $500 donation from Meat Eater going?
It's gonna be awkward.
We have a guest with us who's wearing a vest.
Let's give it to, this is the world's largest conservation NGO.
What's that called?
You got it.
Uh-huh.
Let's give it to the Nature Conservancy.
Nature Conservancy. What do we like about them, Brendan? What do
they
do?
They're an underdog
people?
In the conservation space. Yeah. You know, that scrappy. Well, go ahead. You can do the real.
Why should we be giving the $500 to the Nature Conservancy?
Well, we're in every one of the 50 states and D.C. We're working on conservation in your backyard. In the state of Montana, we're working on sagebrush restoration. We're getting rid of old fences that are in the way of migratory corridors for big game. I encourage everyone to take a look at what the Nature Conservancy is doing in your state. Get out there and volunteer. Always looking for volunteers and always looking for donations. We're glad to have yours, Randall. Thank you.
Wonderful. I'm happy to contribute.
Good pitch. $500 going their way. Thank you for joining us, Brendan. You'll hear him on an upcoming episode of the Meat Eater Podcast. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Thanks, Spencer.
Thank you, Spencer.
Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's M-A-U-I-N-U-I Venison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.